God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and the sea and the birds of the air and over cattle and all the creepy things. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And this is my personal favorite verse. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Aren't you glad your pastor lives out the scripture? Rest of y'all still in addition. I'm multiplying. Anyway, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the whole earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that creeps on the moon and moves, and all that. Subdue it. Have a whole page of Hickman's in the phone book. So, let's pray. God, I thank you. This is all your idea. And so, Father, I just ask you just to speak to us, help us, change us, and God, let us see your glory, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we started last week a series that I know every time I do anything about this, it's painful. Because family is God's idea. Marriage is God's idea. And Satan has tried to distort it and made it into a place of pain and hurt and all those things. But I know what we're talking about. Look, I pray, I take serious what goes on up here. And what I'm teaching you about family tradition, starting a family tradition, you can start them today. You don't have to live in the past. You can start a new one today. Amen? You don't have to live in the past. We can start something different today. But here's my issue. I want you to understand that what I'm sharing with you is not things. I mean, I'm not teaching you everything we know about marriage and family. Because some of the things we know because we've read things and all that. But the things we're going to share with you, things we shared last week, are things that we know we have experienced work. I'm not as smart as James Dobson. Don't claim to be. He knows more than I do, and I'm okay. But I want to share with you the things that I know work, that I've seen work, and not only in my life, but other people's lives. Okay? And so that's why we're sharing certain things. Like last week, we talked about vision. Where are you going? If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know what a good marriage looks like and where you want your marriage or your children to go, then you're in trouble. You're just going to live life as life comes to you, dictated to. Vision makes your decisions. Vision helps you. If you have a vision, you need to understand that God has a vision for you, your marriage, and your children. He has a thought about that. God has a vision for that. God has a vision. You need to find it out and walk in it. Vision, it does, you look, you know, it doesn't live life. When you have a vision, you don't live life unrestrained. You know what unrestrained looks like? It just goes here, a little bit here, go there, all over the place. And you get to the end of your life, you never got anywhere. Never done anything. You have regrets. And that's what I don't want for you. I don't want the world to dictate to us what family should look like. They don't know. They didn't create it. Vision helps you make decisions. We talk clearly about that. How vision, you get a vision for your family, then it makes decisions for you. You can go back and listen to the sermon last week. I'm just kind of recapping. Vision sends out your children. Do not just feed and raise your children and do the best you can. Send them in a direction. What direction are you? I'm not telling you dictate their destiny. I'm telling you dictate what direction they go in. It's yours to do that. That is ours. They are like arrows we're sending out. What direction are you sending them? Without a vision, who knows? You just take what you can get, which is a terrible way to live. So today, I want to talk about the beginning of family. I want to talk about marriage. And I want you to understand, I know when I say that word, in this room, we have vast sundry differences. All right? We got some of you that have just recently divorced. We got some of you that are in a bad marriage. You got some of you that have been married longer than I've been alive. And you ain't looking to change nothing. I understand all that. But what I want to share with you is God's idea about marriage. Because first of all, you need to understand it was God's idea. That's why, you know, the tax laws where older people is worse on them when they get married, you know, tax, all those things, what the world's telling you, live together, you know, and find out, you know, live together. Let me tell you what living together is like. I got a great example for you. Living together is like a tube of toothpaste. Where you, well, I want to see what's inside of it. And you squirt it all out to see what's inside of it, but then you can't get it back in. That's what living together is like. Y'all think about that. It'll come to you about 3 o'clock. You'll go, oh, yeah, that's what he was talking about. Do you understand? God's idea was marriage. God's idea with marriage was man, one man and one woman. Now I know that even in the Old Testament they started having hundreds of marriages, which I mean, my God, is that a horrible idea? Woo! I better move on, Dan. I'm getting caught in that. Do you understand? And marriage and family was given to be a blessing. Not a ball and chain. Not something that drags us down. Oh, you know, I'm married now. I can't have no fun. That's totally the wrong attitude. I'm just telling you what God gave marriage for. He gave it for His idea. One man and one woman. It was meant to be a blessing. And He knew. Listen to me. He knew that He was asking two imperfect people to come together. Whoever you're marrying's got flaws. It's amazing how we overlook them before we're married, and then all of a sudden, because the same flaws that were there now were there before. You just decided you were in love, and they kiss real good, and so we'll overlook that. I'll change them when we get married. Two imperfect people come together. But what God says, two imperfect people can come together and make a perfect one. You don't have to be perfect. That's one of the things that, you know, me and Amy, when we started our marriage, she had a bad spirit of insecurity and I had a bad spirit of selfishness. Wow, that's not good. We were two imperfect people. We both brought in baggage. God is not afraid of you being in baggage. You don't need to ask, is this my perfect mate? I'm going to show you in just a minute how you make them your perfect mate. Is this my perfect mate? You need to ask, God, is this the one for me? And then you just take everything they bring with them. Because God wants to do a perfect attitude. Now, to have a successful marriage, and remember, I understand if you're reeling from divorce and all that, you might want to get married again. You need to write this down. If I was a young person, I'd take notes and write this down because, you know, divorce is, why does God hate divorce? You know why God hates divorce? Because it's so hard to get over. The rest of you saying He can forgive, He forgives you, and He forgives you a divorce, but it's just so hard to get over because of soul ties and all the things that go along with it. That's why you don't want to do it. You just don't want to have a divorce. So we need to get this right, right? First thing you got to have is the right attitude. You got to understand the right attitude of this thing. We do not take our tips from the world. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 5. I'm going to start there because every redneck in this room knows this verse. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I have godless beer drinking, I mean, the stain on their face and all that. I've never been to church before, but by God, they know this verse. Somebody done told them. Hey, preacher, don't they say wise submit? Get her to do right. All right, let's talk about it. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is also the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Look at the action. We're going to come back to this later. That he might present her to himself. You see that? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. In other words, perfect. Now, I'm going to get, are you listening? I'm about to give you God-breathed revelation. You hear me? You listening? This is big. This is huge. Men and women are different. I know some of you are shocked. You know why I think you're shocked? Or why? Because obviously you don't know that. Because we get mad at each other for seeing life differently. Men and women are different. God created us different. Now that's important. You got to have the right attitude. God created us different. I'm not talking about sinful behavior. You know I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he created us different. We see the world differently. I see the world different. Me and Amy laughed the other day because we agreed on something. First time in 33 years. Hey, whoa, we agree. What? Do you understand that God made us different? Now, you got to have the right attitude about marriage or you're always going to be a failure. God made us different. What does that mean? That means, look, every kid born needs love. And this is everything I'm going to share with you has been absolutely scientifically proven correct. Okay? I just didn't feel y'all want to hear all the scientist names and all that stuff. Every baby born needs love. All a male, female, they need love. After that, men and women are different. They've proven this even in babies. Men need respect. Women need to be loved and fought over and sacrificed for. They love to be fought for. They love to be sacrificed, pampered. Not that you're taken care of. Not, ladies, not that you can't take care of yourself. I didn't say you can't do it. You just love it when somebody else takes care of you. Amen? I mean, you see it in manicure and pedicure places. I mean, it's loaded up with women. And if you see a man in there, you check his man card. Do you understand? Women want to be sacrificed for. They love it. I watch that teenage, oh, they're fighting over me. Because something in them. Men, we want to hang the deer heads on the wall and jump over. We want to be, we jump off buildings and we want to have people's respect. We can't help it. We're warriors. That's what God made us to be. So what is he saying? He's saying, look at me now. It's your job to give them what they need. It's your job to give the mate what they need. Don't give them what you think they need. Give them what they need. In other words, it's your job. This is the right attitude. I need to live for their success. It's my job to see that she's successful. It's her job to see that I'm successful. She can absolutely, men need respect. Women need to be taken care of and fought for. But both of them give when they give it. They long for it, they give it. When they give each other, when you live for each other to give them what they need, all of a sudden both of you are blessed. And you do it as unto the Lord. Now I can already feel a pushback in the spirit. Well, I ain't going to give him what he needs until he straightens up. I ain't going to do right by her until she... Well, there you go. There's your problem right there. You forgot who is the creator of all this and who's the one that started all this. If you're going to live right, it's got to be as unto the Lord. It can't be based on their performance. It's got to be based on God's performance. I tell people all the time, look at me. Don't tell me you love God and treat your wife poorly. Ain't flying, buddy. That dog won't hunt. Don't tell me you love God and, oh, I felt the Holy Ghost and all that stuff, and you treat your husband and talk bad about your husband. The first most important relationship in humankind is the marriage relationship. It's the first one God created. It is as unto the Lord. So it is my job to see that she's successful physically, emotionally, sexually, financially, every other chili. I can't remember. I know there's no. I couldn't remember. Every one of them. It's my job to see that she's successful. She talks kid talk all day long. And so it's my job. Even I talk adult talk all day long. So I just want to sit there at home and drink my coffee and just go, oh. She wants to talk. Hey, how was your day? Tell me about it. Well, tell me. Adult talk. So I don't need it. But if I'm going to live for her success, I got to give her what she needs. You see that? That's just a small example. That is the right attitude. Let me just go on and cross the line and finish this point. If she ain't successful, I'm not successful. Now that's the right attitude. God gave me her to do business. I cannot. I got to remember that my gift, my mate is a gift from God. And the right attitude is, I've got to live for her success. Everybody think it. I've got to live for my mate's success. I've got to live to see them do well. If I don't have that attitude, it's going to be a failure. If it's this thing, what the world teaches, well, it's half and half, you know, give and take, all that stuff. No, I got to be all in to make sure she is successful in every way. Every way. When I had the right attitude, it helps me have the right attitude when I realize, number two, the revelation of one flesh. Turn your Bibles back to Genesis chapter 2, because it's going to help us interpret Ephesians. Genesis chapter 2. Turn back there real quickly. Some of you are thinking, wow, man, I wish my husband was here to hear this. And that's the devil telling you that. Because maybe God wants to get you first. Wish my wife was here to hear this. No, God set it up where you're here. I'm just saying. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall over Adam. See, ladies, it's been from the beginning. It's a godly thing to fall into deep sleep. And he slept. He took one of the ribs and he closed up the flesh. And through the rib, he made the woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, and she taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." For all you meddling in-laws, you're trying to control your child's marriage and family, you're in sin. I ain't preaching about that, but I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. I love that. I got to read verse 25. "And they were both naked, man and women, and they were not ashamed." I'm sorry, I just like reading that. Do you understand? Now, here's the reason I want you to understand this. This is why, if you don't have the right attitude, you won't understand this. You are one flesh. God said you're to leave and cleave and you become one flesh. Now understand what that means. Okay? That means when she's blessed, I'm blessed. When he's blessed, you're blessed. Do you understand that it means when my mate, when Amy is blessed, that means I'm blessed. If you understand one flesh. See, some of you are still, this is why, let me go here for just a moment. This is, I don't want to make you too uncomfortable, but a little bit. This is why, you know, sex is the target of the enemy. That sex is the target of the enemy, and the reason is because he understands what the concept that God is saying. Everything God does, he gives us symbols. Everything he's done, he's given us symbols. The act of sex is the symbol of the spiritual truth that two shall become one. It has in it spiritual power. It absolutely does. That's why Satan's trying to cheapen it. That's why some of you have this longing for old boyfriends and old girlfriends that you slept with. Because there's a spiritual soul tie there that you haven't broken yet. That you haven't broken, and so you got this longing for something that's not really there, but inside of you. Do you realize that relationships, let me show you what I'm talking about. You got to get this. Relationships, each level of relationship has a privilege. It has a privilege. You got acquaintances. You got friends, you got close friends, you know. I got close friends, you know. I can go to guy's house, go in his back door, take something, and call him and say, "Hey," because we close friends. Well, if you do that with an acquaintance, well, he might be calling David to my house, the sheriff, and saying, "Hey, man, get the preacher out of my house." Why? Because our level of relationship couldn't handle that. There's a healing power. Even godless couples know this. It's been proven. They holler, cuss. Talking about unchristians. Holler, cuss, and you know, have bad fight. Don't speak to each other for 3 or 4 days. One of them finally comes. "Look, I forgot what we're fighting about. I'm sorry." They have sex, and all of a sudden, everything's better. Because there is a healing quality in that. There's something spiritual going on. That's why Satan cheapens it so much. Because when you understand that, you understand the two shall become one. You understand. Flip back over to Ephesians 5. See, if you don't understand it, living for each other's good is a foreign concept. And this verse 28, where it says, "So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." See, if you understand one flesh, then that makes sense to you. You go, Oh, when I bless her, I get blessed. See, we're taking our marriage cues from Transformers. We are. I mean, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Where the guy says, hey, look, yeah. And he said, well, what about marriage? And his advice to his son was happy life, happy wife, happy life. Unhappy wife, stone cold misery the rest of your life. That was on the movie Transformers. But here's what I'm saying. It is my job as her husband. And let me say this. It is my job before it's my job to pastor you. It's my job before it's my job to father them. She is first. She's the first responsibility I have outside of the Lord. Lord's first, obviously, we know that. Love the Lord your God. But then her. Why? Because we are one flesh. Do you see that? You are hurting yourself. Why is it? Let me ask you a question. Why is it when you hear men or women talk bad about their husband, talk bad about their wife, and then they're depressed themselves, but they blame it on their wives? Uh-uh. You're doing business. My mate, if you understand one flesh, you understand that she completes me. I have flaws and detriments and things that I don't see that I can't do. She completes me. It's a picture of God. I'm the one that takes care of the bills. I protect everybody. I take care of everybody. I'm going to make sure things happen, okay? I'm going to make sure things run the right way. Amy's the one that's going to bake cupcakes and make sure that each boy has the exact number of M&Ms on his cupcake. Isn't that an incredible picture? See, I would never do that. I bake cupcakes, slap some cream cheese on it, and throw them the bag of M&Ms. Isn't that a great picture of God? God takes care of a big picture. He's taking care of my future for eternity. He's going to protect me. Man, don't mess with me. My dad is a bad dude, and he will hurt you. But he also takes care of the little desires, the little things in our life, the little prayers that are answered. You see that? What an incredible picture of God. Now, when you understand, and please get this, understand, you have the right attitude. I'm living for her good. I know what you say, we're one flesh. Well, brother, you just don't know who I'm married. I married this woman. She just all the time hollering at me. Which brings to me point number three, last one. You create the kind of marriage you want. Notice what I just said. You create. All you guys that think the women run you over and all that, well, let me tell you something, honey. You can't have a Jezebel without an Ahab. Just thought I'd throw that out for your consideration. Do you understand? You create the kind. I'm going to show you. Look at Ephesians 5:27. It says, look at what he's doing. That he might present. Well, let's go to 26. All right. I can read 26. I got it. It says that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. In other words, perfect. Well, guess what, guys? I know that y'all think that Amy's perfect. I recognize that. But she didn't come like that. And I was not always the picture of refinement that I am today. We walked in, we both knew God told us to get married. She was totally insecure. She'll tell you that. I'd get so mad, she'd ask me questions like, why do you love me? I mean, then she'd, a little tear would come down, and I'm like, what's the right answer to get her to stop crying, man? I don't know! And I was totally selfish. But we both knew God had spoken, so we walked into a marriage, two imperfect people, and I want to stand here today after 33 years and tell you, she is perfect for me. I believe she would tell you that I am perfect for her. A person that cannot, that hates to make decisions, married a decision-making machine. Now see, let me tell you how that plays out. First of all, we went into attitude. I knew God. We started learning, okay, I got to make her successful. Instead of reacting like this, she would stand there early on. This was early on now, early on. Look at a 16-ounce can and a 20-ounce can and trying to figure out in her head which one is the best deal. And I stood there in Walmart, and I'm tripping. So finally, in a fit of rage, I just took my arm behind all of the cans, raked them in. Decision made! Move on! And then, you know what she did? She just grabbed her purse and walked out crying and just sat in the car. Here I am with a buggy full of corn. Now see, we weren't perfect. But we knew God, and so we started living for each other's good. Do you have to tell children a lie? No, they come. But we teach them not to. You ain't never had to train a kid to pick boogers, have you? I mean, they just do it. Nobody ever sat down and said, I'm going to teach you how to pick your boogers. But what do? You take that flaw and you work with it until you get them out. Nobody judges you on your 3-year-old picking and eating their boogers. Nobody goes, what a horrible parent you are. Now, I would judge you if your 18-year-old's doing it. We got problems. See, that's why we got to learn to grow. I've got to do business. I've got to allow myself to understand that she is one flesh. When she does well, I'm doing well. Now, how do I create my perfect wife? How do I create my perfect mate? I'm so glad you asked. I want to give you 3 things real quick. Write these down, please. Number 1, the Word. Notice that he said, I sanctify her by the washing of the water by the Word. If you read the Bible together, it separates. It'll separate your soul and your spirit. It'll guide, it'll direct you. Are you reading the Word together? Are you reading it as a family? Just reading it, it says every word of God purifies. Are you reading the Word together? I'm not asking you to explain revelations. Just read the Word. And you'll see something good happen. Number 2, words. They are built. I'm to build her up. Dobson calls it making deposits. I am to build her up. You know what Amy thinks? If you gave her a test right now and told her, ask her, how pretty does your husband think you are? Is that right? Whatever. What would you say? Don't make me say it. I tell her all the time she's the most beautiful woman in the world. All the time. Thousands of times. Over and over again. Is she the most beautiful woman in the world to you? I don't care. You ain't married to her. It don't bother me. I'm going to say, and I'm not judging her based on what the magazines say is pretty. Every time I see one of them tall, lanky models, I think, man, that girl needs some cornbread, man. She ain't. Golly. Not that you're not thin, Amy. Don't let me say that. But what I'm saying is, you cannot, remember the right attitude, I cannot live out for her good and tear her down with my words. And cuss her and point out every flaw she has and all that stuff. She had those flaws when I married her. Why all of a sudden now that you're married, you feel like you got to point them out every time? I need to build her up with my words. There's life in the power of the tongue. I need to speak life over her. I need to tell her how I feel. I need to protect her. I need to praise her. All those things. Because sometimes you're going to have to make withdrawals. Words. The last one is worth. 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 I got to show them how valuable they are. How do you do that? As a man, you do that by sacrificing. You do that by protecting. Let me say something to you. And I know this is offensive to some of you, but I don't care. Because we're happy. I mean, if you want to be miserable, that's your business. You know, it's America. You can be whatever you want to be. She's first behind the Lord. She's first. I will not put my children above her. Or my children's sports, or my children's dance, or my children's activities. I'm not. See, some of you need to go out on a date and just tell your children to sit there and quit worrying about them. See, I'm training my boys. Whoever marries my boys is going to be well taken care of because I've told them, look, you mess with her, I'll throw you against the wall. I ain't got no problem with it. You ain't going to talk bad to my wife. You're not going to disrespect her. See, we were homeschooling. I was doing that for her good. Why? We were homeschooling the first 12 years. Man, if I let them talk to her like little boys talk to their mama, it'd have been chaos. She'd have been in an insane asylum. She would have. You know she would have. See, you got to understand, we have gotten our priorities all screwed up. We're placing sports and things and all this other stuff above God, and it's got everything turned over. Do you understand that my wife, if this thing is going to act right, my wife is first, period. Period. I'm living for her good. I've got to prove that worth to her. I've told the boys 100 times. I told them, say, look, man, I can make another one of you. I've proven that. But, see, some of you, look, here's a good sign that you're not proving her worth by telling her good words. If you start saying good things to her, and she goes, what do you want? What's going on? That means you ain't saying them enough. Or what's worse is, I got a headache. I've got to show her worth. The best thing you can give your children is a stable marriage. That has been proven by godless psychologists, that people with their marriages intact, that have a halfway okay marriage, they're still together, their biological parents are still together, they test better than every other. Best thing you can give them is a godly marriage. You're showing them something. You're giving them stability. Do you understand that? Now again, let me go back to the beginning. I know that there is a vast sundry of places we are, and God loves us all where we are. But don't stay where you are. Let's go forward. If you're coming off a bad divorce, maddest I ever got in a counseling session. You know, and I try to be gracious and kind. You know, I had a guy who was passing through, and somebody gave him my name, and they passed through, wanted to get married that day. And I said, see, because some of his arrogance have caused you not to even listen today. That I can see it. Man looked at me, and I said, look, I don't do quickie weddings. You got to go through counseling. My counseling, and I just don't do them. And the man looked at me and said, oh, like he was going to convince me. Oh, no. You got to understand, because he was a little older than I am. He said, man, we know what we're doing. We understand how marriage is, and we know how it is. He said, look, man, I've been married 7 times, and she's been married 5 times. I almost fell out of my chair. I said, sir, no respect intended. You might be the biggest idiot I have ever met. And you go, oh, well, Brother Allen, sometimes you got to speak the truth. Man, you've been a complete failure the whole time. You don't know nothing. Well, we don't have to sit here and take this. I said, okay, don't. Quit on it like you quit everything else you've done, every relationship. Come on, we'll find somebody, Maris. Walked out. See, some of you think you got this, and you never go back to what God's intention was. If you're coming out of a bad divorce, man, take time to heal. Marriage is a huge deal. It's huge. The worst thing you can do is jump into another relationship because you can't give them your whole heart. Marriage is such a big deal. It hurts us when it breaks up. It damages us. We need time to let the love of God heal you. If your marriage isn't what you want it to be, today can be the first day. Quit worrying about who's not here. Let the Lord talk to you. And begin, listen, a good marriage doesn't just come in. You got to fight for it. You got to sometimes not say what your flesh wants to say. But if you don't have the right attitude, it's my job to see that she is successful in every way. If I don't have that right attitude, I won't control my flesh. I'll just say whatever comes to my mind. And that's sin. Because let me tell you something. Everybody look at me. And I believe this. I believe I'm going to be judged more, greater on what I do with her than anything else. Anything else. My ministry, parent, I believe I'm going to be judged more on what I do with her, how I treat her. Here's what I prayed hard about this morning, man. Just God, how you want to do this? At the end of this series in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a family blessing. And I tell you, it's going to be cool, I think. Seems like it's going to be cool anyway. But here's what I want you to do. There's some of you that are still, you might be already remarried, but you're still battling with ties to the past. Still battling with unforgiveness or soul ties. I'm going to ask you in just a minute to come to the altar and just lay them at the feet and say, God, I forgive. I choose to release them. Some of your marriage may not be where you want it to be. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar together. Hold hands with your mate. Some of you have been married, I felt like the Lord spoke to me, so I'm going to just say it. Some of you have been married a long time, and you're just kind of going through the motions. There's no laughter. There's no joy. There's no excitement. God wants to rekindle that this morning, if you'll let Him. And you come and stand or kneel before the Lord as a couple. God, we want our marriage to be blessed. We want it to be... I believe God wants to bless you with laughter and joy. I believe He wants you to have more sex. I believe He wants all of that stuff. It brings joy, healing. But you got to do it for the Lord. You got to bring it to the Lord and say, God, I'm going to do this marriage. It's my job to see that this lady, it's my job to see that this man is successful. If you're single, dedicate yourself. Don't try not to find the right one. Try to find the Lord, one that the Lord has given to you. Well, they like what I like. They do what I do. Is that the one the Lord's bringing you? That's the question. Come and dedicate yourself. Lord, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do it with the right attitude. We're going to start a family tradition. Everybody rise to your feet.